Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. Oh, the Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we are in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We are here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, or we got to get filled up with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we are in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother, your niece, your nephew, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, granddaughter, grandson. Go wake them all up. Let them know. In your corner. In your corner. In your corner. We're on the air. We're on the air. We're on the air. Right here, coming out of Dallas, Texas. We're on the air. But we're everywhere, y'all. We're on the internet. Matter of fact, let me go and get my bus this morning. Let me go crank up my bus. Let me go get the bus started. Let me go and pick up somebody. I think I started last week or the other day. I started over there in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Let me go and go on the West Coast. But we got some cities out there that's listening to us. Thank you, Seattle, Washington, for listening to us. Get on board this morning. All right, Los Angeles, California, God bless you. Good morning to you. San Diego and Sacramento, California, God bless y'all out there. San Francisco, are you on board this morning? Get on board. Get on board this morning. All right, Albuquerque, New Mexico, get on board. El Paso, get on board this morning. All right, come on, y'all. Everybody get on board this morning. Dallas, Texas, God bless you. Fort Worth, Texas, over there in Fort Worth, Texas, God bless you. Thank y'all so kindly for being on board this morning and being on board all week long. All right, let me go and get me a song this morning. This is Reverend Timothy Wright. It's a great song that he had. For the rest of my life, I'll serve the Lord. What about you? What about you? You gonna serve him for the rest of your life? You gonna be a full-time lover and not a part-time lover to Jesus Christ? Come on. Come on, choir. How long you gonna do it? Yeah. right. That was the Reverend Timothy Wright. For the rest of my life, I will serve the Lord. You know, God saved you for all of eternity. So for all of eternity, serve the Lord. Serving God is the best way to live. All right, y'all. That's our song this morning. Reverend Timothy Wright, for the rest of our life, I'll serve the Lord. Now it's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. This morning we're going to be reading out of the New Testament. We're going to finish up this week reading out of the New Testament, out of Acts chapter 26 through 28. We're going to finish up the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 26 through 28. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense.
King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I, too, was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles.
At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense.
"You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane."
"I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do."
Then Agrippa said to Paul,
Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?
Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains.
The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus,
this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramidium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Nidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lacia. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them,
men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also.
But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said,
men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.
On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers,
Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.
So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat.
For the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head.
After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was rainy and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and, as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other,
"This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live."
But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The believers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them,
"My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain."
They replied,
"We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are. for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect.
They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement.
The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen."
For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
All right, that was our scripture this morning. We read this morning out of Acts chapter 26 through 28. May God bless those who have heard his holy word this morning. It's prayer time now. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. Let's pray. Regardless how bad it is, regardless what the situation is, there's nothing too hard for God. So let's come on and pray. Family that prays together is a family that will stay together. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you again for giving us another day, not only a day, but another wonderful week. Thank you, Lord, how you have brought us a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. You brought us, dear God, from the beginning of the week to the close of the week. And we thank you, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for how you have protected us from the seen and unseen danger. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for making a way for us when it seems like it was no way. We thank you, dear God, for how you have blessed us over and over and over again. And Lord, I just want to pray for your people this morning. I want to pray for the body of Christ, dear God. I want to pray, dear God, for the men and women of God that's going to preach and teach your word this weekend, dear God, at church on Sunday. Prepare their hearts, prepare their minds. Lord, give them a rhema word, a word from heaven. Give them some fresh bread, dear God. Anoint them with power on high to preach and teach your word. Lord, we pray for every auxiliary in the church, dear God. Lord, we pray for the parking lot committee. We pray for the greeters, dear God. We pray for the ushers. We pray for the choir. We pray for the piano player and the minister of music, dear God. Lord, we pray for the ministers, and we pray for the trustees and the deacons, dear God. Lord, we just pray for the entire body of Christ, dear God. We pray that everybody can be on their post on Sunday morning, serving you, dear God, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just pray that we'll have an attitude like David. David says, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." So, Lord, touch in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. Lord, we pray for that prodigal son. Pray for that prodigal daughter. Bring them back into the fold. Bring them to yourself. And we pray we'll even see them on Sunday morning. Be pleased, dear God, to save the lost, encourage the saved, and rescue backsliders. And Lord, let your people know that they can make it, because all things are possible to him that believe. All right, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we count it all done, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. And amen. And amen again. All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Now listen. We done prayed about it. So don't you dare worry about it. We have put it on the altar. Now just leave it right there. Oh, thank you so kindly for joining us this morning on In Your Corner. Thank you for riding the Bible bus with us. Now listen, you make sure you go to somebody's church this Sunday. And listen, check us out too on the weekends here. Because we play the best of In Your Corner. We play the best of In Your Corner song. We pray the best scriptures of In Your Corner. All right, so listen to us now. All right, let me encourage you to even stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB. It's at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. And at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room. At 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. At 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. At 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. And at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? You're in good fortune because we began to rebroadcast them. So stick and stay. Don't you dare go away. We got some good things in store for you today because we are in your corner.